morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus right now over every single person, God, under the sound of my voice, Lord, whether they be in this congregation, Father, whether they be in their car, whether they be at home on their couch, and if you are at home on your couch, you need to get up and you need to stand up because you're a part of this service. And Lord, I thank you right now that the anointing breaks the yoke and it breaks every single yoke that we're battling. Father God, right now for every person, Lord, and they're not where they should be. God, in you, I ask you right now that you would draw them because God, you're the only one that can do the drawing right now. Lord, for every person, for every empty pew where there's a backslidden person and they're supposed to be right here in this church, God, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you draw them back. God, right now, Lord, I ask that you would begin to speak to them, God, and about their life and about what direction that it's in. And Lord, right now, I lose the spirit of peace. I lose healing in this place. I lose favor, God, and I lose miracles right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to hear that God is still doing miracles. He is still God. He is still mending every broken place inside of us. I'm going to ask you right now to give him the sacrifice of praise, not because everything's going right in your life, but because he's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't hear any rejoicing going on. God, we thank you right now for who you are. Lord, in Jesus' name, we lift you up, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit, says the Lord. If you pray in tongues, I'm going to ask you to begin to pray in tongues. Why? Because, see, the Holy Spirit would like to come into this service, and he wants it to fall on the hearts and of people up in here. There's people that they need a move of God in their life or else their life is going to be messed up. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you, Father, that you're making a move that only you can do. God, for the impossible, you've just made it possible. So, God, we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. And you may be seated. Going to be ministering to you this morning out of the book of Luke. So please turn with me now to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And I encourage you to bring your Bible here to church. You need to read it for yourself. You need to hide it inside of your heart. Plant it there. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 1. And it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his town to register, to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came. Now, I'm going to stop right there because you need to begin to take the Word of God for every word that it has. And I want to tell you right now that if you're in a season of waiting, you need to look up in every place where the Word of God says, and the time came. Because there's many, many phrases in there that say exactly that. The Word of God says over and over, it says where people were believing and expecting for something and they had to wait. But there was a time where it came. And I want to tell you this morning that if you're in a season of waiting, do not be discouraged, because many times believers think that God said no, and a lot of times God is not saying no, he's just saying wait. And so I want to put inside of you this morning that the time will come. Every battle that you're in, every struggle that you're in, it has a shelf life. No storm is going to last forever. No hardship is going to last forever. God will not allow it. It says in his word that he will raise up a standard When you're in those tough seasons and you're saying, God, why am I still going through this? You need to change that prayer and you need to change your confession and you need to begin to say and thank God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that there's going to be a time that's coming. And Lord, it's in your timing. God, I don't even want it on my time schedule because, God, it wouldn't be right. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you've got the time. And Lord, you're always on time. So God, I thank you right now that even though I'm going through something in this moment, that God, there's a time coming and I begin to thank you right now for that time. And you shift those statements of, oh, it's not going to get any better and, oh, how long is this going to last? You know what? At the end of the day, it's going to last however long it lasts, right? That's it. You just need to be thanking him all up in that thing because you know what? God is surely bringing you out of it. He is surely bringing you out of it. The devil wants to make you feel like that's a permanent gig in your life, and it isn't. You're passing by. So it says, and the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Now, how many of y'all like all these pretty decorations? Okay. Dwayne, do me a favor. Don't drop the baby Jesus out of his cradle, okay? But get me the manger up there and the baby. Now, if you're looking for some uptight pastor and we can't laugh up in here, y'all have been in the wrong church. I'm just going to tell you. Because life is very real, and it's heartbreaking enough, and you should be able to come to church and be able to have a good time. And you should be able to walk out of here feeling like everything's going to be okay, because it is. And it says here, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Now, how many of you know what a manger is? Brother Larry in the back, what's a manger? Okay, it can be a bed for a small baby. In those days, a manger was actually a trough that they fed livestock out of. And isn't it funny, and I've done this too, but haven't we gotten so overboard with everything that we do in this generation? I'm going to hit that nerve just a little bit more. So just bear with me. And if you feel offended, just know that's probably conviction and not offense. Amen. Too many people get offended about what the pastor says when the truth of the matter is they're offended because somebody spoke truth and nobody likes the truth. Right, Jimmy? Now, Jimmy did say a true statement. He said, Pastor Kelly, you should run for the president.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Look here, we'd have that White House all decorated. Okay. They'd be like, oh, she just spent how much on them decorations? We want her out of there. But it was a feed trough, okay? And so many people in our generation, we make such a big deal about our children in their bedrooms and, oh, we've got to have this wallpaper and it's got to have this and we've got to give them the best life so we want them to have. I'm in that, okay? I get it because I did it and I'm still doing it. And it's just too much, okay? It's just too much because what we should be giving them is Christ and not all of the fluff all the time because then they get in their life when they get adults and they don't know how to even talk to somebody because we've enabled them to be not social. And we need to think about where we're going as a country because it's in the wrong direction because our kids can't even talk to people. Amen. Mine included, okay? And that's on me. It ain't daddy's fault, it ain't this one's fault, and it ain't that one's fault. If you got kids in here, raise them in God's house and stop making them weird. How many of you, you've seen some kids here lately and you're thinking, okay, that they're just weird. I mean, the kids are getting weirder. Look at their parents. You don't have to look very far. But they put Jesus in a feeding trough. They put him in a trough. Why? Because the trough was irrelevant. What was meaningful was that he was in there. Humbly he came and humbly he left. So they put him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for him. And you know what? Surprisingly, all these thousands of years later, there's still no room for him in the hearts of many, many people. I'm going to ask you this morning, have you really made room for the Lord? Have you made room for him? Do you have room for him in your decision making? Do you have room for him in the financial choices that you make? Do you have room for him in your marriage? Do you have room for him in your child rearing? Do you have room for him when you get home? Do you have room for him just in your day-to-day life? Because most of the time when we examine ourselves, and you should be examining yourself on a daily basis, self-reflection and self-examination is a healthy thing to do. It will keep you in check. So we need to know, have I really made room for Christ in these areas of my life? Have I made room for him? I'm asking you that. Are there places in your life in certain topics where you haven't made room for him? And look here, if you haven't, it's nothing to be condemned about, but you need to fix that. If you're still living and you're still breathing, there is time to fix it. There is time to turn it around, and there's no better time to do it than today. Why is that? Because the Word of God says that today is the day of salvation, right here and right now. So it says, and there was no room for him in the inn. Now, do you have room for Christ? Do you have room for him? Go with me right now to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 21, and I'm going to read you a story. You know, something amazing. I got an Amplified Bible about a year ago. Now, I preach out of the same Bible. I've preached since I was 19 years old. I've preached for 20 years. I know. I'm fixing to hit the big 4-0. I remember when my dad, we had the church on the square, and we didn't start out on the square. We actually started out in a storefront, right? And in a house, yep. If you ever want to hear some cool history about the ministry, you talk to this guy because he founded it. And so we love Dad. He's the founding pastor. Church would not be here today like it is without him and my mother. But I remember when he turned 40, Mary McFarland, who has been with us since when, Miss Mary?
Since November of 1987.
November of 1987. She put a black wreath, a big black wreath, on the door of the church. The church was in what is now Little Shops, and that's where we had church for, what do you think, Dad, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
Yep. And so she put a big black wreath up there. And Dad goes, what is that? And she goes, happy 40th birthday, Brother Angelo, and I'll never forget that as a kid. So, anyways, that has nothing to do with the message. I'm not going to try to tie that in there. Now, I could. Don't kid yourself. If I wanted to tie something in there, I'm pretty good. I could just weave that up in there somehow and make you feel spiritual about that wreath, but I'm not going to do that. But go with me now to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 21. And it says here, this was 8 days after Jesus was born. And on the 8th day, when it was time, did y'all catch that? You need to hang on every single word that the Word of God says. And on the 8th day, when it was time, God wants to speak to someone today so clearly about times and seasons. When it was time, there's some things that y'all are waiting for, and God is saying, I have not said no, it is just not time yet. The Word of God says, though it tarry, wait for it. So when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, did you see that part where it said that he was righteous and he was devout? What does it take to live in today's society to be righteous and devout? That hasn't changed. And it says he was waiting. He was waiting. He was waiting. What was he waiting on? He was waiting for Jesus. I encourage you today, wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on him. Don't take matters into your own hands. You're going to mess it up. Wait on God. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Is the Holy Spirit on you, in you? Does he work through you? Do you see the Holy Spirit in your life? That's a question that only you can answer. But if not, you need him flowing up through you and through your life. And it says that the Holy Spirit, he was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Who revealed that to him? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did. What did he reveal? That he would not die before he saw Christ. There's too many believers, and they're stuck there, and they're scratching their head all the time, wondering what's going on with their life. Look here. You should never be wondering. If you're wondering, you need to hit your knees and you need to begin to ask God, because God will tell you what's going on in your life. Too many people are not having conversations with God. Why? Because we're in a society where people don't even know how to talk to each other. Why do you think that you go out to a restaurant and you see all these kids and all these families and they're supposed to be having family time and they're all on their phone? I'm guilty also. Okay? I challenge you to wean yourself off of just a little bit of time off of your phone. I was speaking yesterday at a women's widow gathering, and I was really struggling the whole week to figure out what God was wanting me to minister about. And you know why I was struggling? Because I didn't give God very much time throughout the week to tell it to me. It wasn't God's fault. It was mine. See, there's times where we're asking God and we're, are you seeking God? Yeah. Well, how long? Well, I mean, for 5 minutes until my favorite show comes on. God can't do it in 5 minutes. I mean, what the heck? McDonald's can get me that burger in 3 minutes. Come on, God. Let me tell you something. There's times where you're going to have to wait. Wait on God. So you might as well get good and get into the practice of waiting. But the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you if you will seek him. I said the Holy Spirit will reveal you things that you don't know that are insightful. You ever see somebody's life and they're very anointed and you think, and they're very blessed and you think, how did they get that way? I guarantee you that person is seeking God. They are spending a lot of time with him. They are asking him questions. They are seeking his face. They've stopped asking, Lord, give me, give me, give me. Lord, what is your will? Because see, God's already going to bless you. That's what people need to understand about God. Tanya, here's what I know about God. He already knows what I have need of. And he is bringing it, sending it. It's on the way. He knows it. He knows it better than I know it. God's going to bless you, no doubt. So it says here that the Holy Spirit revealed this information to him. The Holy Spirit did it. Now go with me for a moment to Jeremiah 33:3. How much does a person need the Holy Spirit working and moving in their life? A ton. It's hard to exist without him. Because the Holy Spirit will drop things into your spirit and you'll think, well, where did that come from? But it'll be spot on. Jeremiah 33:3. See, we just read where Simeon, the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not even die before he had seen Christ. And right now, what we've got is, I've just told you, the Holy Spirit, if you'll seek him, he'll put things up inside of you that you didn't know that are going to help you in your life, and that's going to bring about some anointing in your life. How many of you, if the Holy Spirit was able to drop some things inside of you and they could help you make the next right 10 decisions, you would want that in your life? The problem is when we don't want the Holy Spirit and we just make these decisions and they're bad calls, and then we're stuck in years worth of trying to fix that mess up. But it says here, call unto me. Call unto me. See, you're going to have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you want to be a lazy Christian, you're probably going to have a difficult time being blessed, because there's going to be some things that God wants you to say out of your mouth. The word says, call unto me. Talk to me. Communicate with me. Let's have a conversation. Call unto me, and I will answer you. Too many people are saying, well, God's not answering me. You're probably not listening. I got this thing with my kids, and I'll ask them a question. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's certain things I'm very picky about. And if them kids don't respond to me, I will have a fit. Because you know what? You need to speak when you're spoken to. And you need to respond. The word says that that's how God operates. Call unto me, and I will answer you. Not, I will think about it, or I may, or whatever. This is a promise out of the Word of God, and it says very clearly here, if you will call on me, I will answer you. Now you get into that thing, well, I can't hear God. You know what? Slow yourself down. Block out all that noise, because you know what? Sometimes it's that still small voice up inside of you. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things, which you knowest not. So when the word tells us that the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he saw the Christ, that was a promise to him that, you know what, before you breathe your last breath, you're going to see the Christ. Guess what? He didn't have to worry about dying anytime soon. The Holy Spirit can tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. How many of you could stand for a little great and mighty things, a little inclination of God putting some things into your spirit to help you in your life that are great and mighty? He promises in His Word that He will do that for you if you call on Him. And it says here, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Verse 27, moved by the Spirit, and I'm going to stop right there. There's too many believers moving out of turn, right, Melissa? We see this all the time. Too many people, too many believers moving out of God's timing. What moved him? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved him. I'm going to read it to you again. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. You don't need to make moves unless it's the moves that the Holy Spirit directed you to make. Well, the Holy Spirit's not directing me to do anything. Then you best be just sitting there waiting. If he hadn't directed, then you there. And you're waiting for the direction. There were some things that I thought that I was going to do before the year was up. Different ideas that I had for the church and just different things. And they're very good ideas. But here's what I know. If they're out of season, they won't be blessed. Just because something's a good idea don't mean it'll have the blessing of God on it. It's got to be in season. It's got to be the time. The time has got to be right. There's something I'm asking God for, and it's a big deal. Something money cannot buy, and I'm saying, God, is it time yet? And he keeps telling me the same thing. Kelly, the day that it's time, you're going to know it inside of you. You're going to know it. You're going to feel it. What am I doing? I'm asking him every day, and I'm seeking him every day, and I'm thanking him every day. Because, Mindy, here is what I know. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But God, because he loves me and because he loves you, he will not allow the prayer to be answered one moment before it's time. Not one second. God loves you so much that when it comes, it's going to be spot on. I got two crowns the other day. Let me tell you, I hate going to the dentist. I hate driving by the dentist's office. I don't like it at all. I'm really not afraid of hardly anything, but I do have a phobia about going to the dentist. But I also like to have a pretty smile, and I like to look nice. So I'm like, okay, I'm kind of torn here. I got to get some teeth work. So here we are. And I go to the dentist, and I'm like, he's new. And I said, you got one chance, buddy. That's it. You get one chance with me. Do not mess anything up. Okay, I've got enough problems. I told him this. I got enough problems. Do not mess up anything in this mouth, okay? Because I talk for a living. Okay. So I gotta be able to do that. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm gonna stick this thing in your mouth and we're gonna take a video of your teeth. Well, sure enough, he did. And this crown, he does it same day, too, by the way. I'm giving him a commercial in this service because he was that good. He took a video of my mouth, Jimmy, before he started messing with my two teeth. I thought I was going there for one tooth. We came out of there messing with two. And he took that video, and he gave me a little cube. He said, by the end of the day, this is going to be your tooth. And it's going to be exactly spot on the way that your teeth, before I grind them down, is going to be the exact size, the exact ridges, the exact everything. They are. And you know how they are? You know how I know that they are? Because I wear a night guard every single night on my bottom teeth. I did not have to change that night guard after he worked on these teeth on the bottom. I just slipped that thing in, perfect fit. Now, as dumb as this may sound, when I tell you you need to pray about everything, you need to pray about everything. Cecilia, I prayed about going to the dentist for a very long time before I went. And I did not have a release from the Holy Spirit until the day I walked in there. This little guy, he's young and he's new. I've been young and I've been new. And I know what it's like to get people to trust you with things that are important to them because I've been there. I remember when I took the church over, people were like, even old enough to do this? I mean, and you have to prove yourself. said, look, I don't care how old you are. If these teeth are spot on, you've got me for life. But if they are wrong, we are going to have it out. They're spot on. The timing for things that you're believing God for, do not be mad at God when they haven't come yet. They'll be spot on. They'll be exact. They'll fit right where they're supposed to fit in your life. Amen? And it says that he was moved by the Spirit, and so he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. So here's Simeon. The Holy Spirit had given him the knowledge that he would not die until he saw Christ. And when he saw him, he knew that he saw him. Some people are asking God, Lord, how will I know? How will I know this? Or how will I know that? Let me just tell you something. The Holy Spirit will put a peace up inside of you, and you will know when that thing is from God. You'll know. You'll have a knowing. There'll be that still, small presence of just the Holy Spirit, and he will fill every part of you, and you'll know. And so here's Simeon, and he takes this baby, and he puts his arms around him. He just puts his arms around this baby. Why? Because see, this baby was what he was waiting for. And we live in a society where people are putting their arms around all these things. All these things. What does the Word of God say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things shall be added. But see, we've gotten things out of order, and we've embraced, and we've put our arms around every sin, over every disgusting thing that we put above the living God, when what we should be doing is we should think of Jesus and what he did and when he came to do it. See, he came as a baby. He came as a child. Why? To dwell among us so we would feel everything that he would need to feel so he could relate to us. And it says that when Simeon saw him, he lifted him up and he put his arms around him, because you know that baby was what he was waiting for. That baby was what the Holy Spirit had promised him. I encourage you today to put your arms around Christ, to truly, truly love him, to stop every time something don't go your way. Well, I don't even know if there is a God. Well, you need to grow up. You're not a Christian if that's what you're saying. I hate to tell you that. Because you know what? At the end of the day, a born-again believer, it don't matter if they're going through hell. They still know that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And there ain't nothing in your life that's worth letting go of God. I remember when I was 7 years old, I woke up on my seventh birthday, and we had the ugliest brown sectional couch, and I was the only one awake. And in my seven-year-old mind, how many of you remember those trolls that they used to have? And they used to have a little jewel in their belly button, and then they had that wild hair, okay? Some of you from that era, and some of you are like, yeah, I had to buy them for my kids. So, but we all probably remember them. And I had told my mom and dad that I wanted one of those for my seventh birthday, because we had just gotten a TV, and they had them on commercials, and that's how they suckered them kids in. It used to is they'd show them commercials on Saturday morning, and to the point where you'd have to go buy your kid that thing. And I wanted one of those so bad, because the commercials said that there was magic in them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you'll raise your kid right, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect with your kid, because you're not. And you're going to have to give your kids some grace, and they're going to have to give you some grace when they grow up and realize that you were trying to do the best that you could do. And I get that now, when I didn't get it before. But I remember wanting one of them, and I was watching the TV, and one of them came on. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I heard the voice of God say, Kelly, there is no magic. And I began to talk to God for the very first time. And the Lord began to put something inside of my heart. And the Lord told me, you need to get on your knees and you need to repent for all the sins that you've been doing. Well, how many sins could a little seven-year-old do? Look here, don't underestimate me. That's why God saved me and He made me a pastor, because I would have been one heck of a heathen. But I felt conviction for the very first time in my life. And I got down on my knees and I began to pray. And I could hear my father walking down the hallway, and he stopped and he said, Kel, what are you doing? And I said, Dad, I am praying about my sin. And he got down right beside me. Let me tell you something. You can't give your kids enough crap, and it's all crap. You can't give them enough sports. You know what? Sports isn't God. You can't give them enough of, oh, we're going to let them be in the FFA, and they're going to do cows every Sunday, and we're never going to be here. Look here. God is not happy with that stuff. If you're not putting Him first, and you're not teaching your children to put them first, you are robbing them of the inheritance that is theirs. And that inheritance is eternal life with Christ. And you're robbing them. You're robbing the thing that you love more than anything, probably, and it's your child. And we're robbing them, and we don't even know it, because we're trying to give them everything, but then we skip over giving them the most important thing, which is God. And I got on my knees. Look here, He didn't make me get on my knees. The Holy Spirit began to speak to me. You want God to talk to your kids? You show them God. We knew where we were going every Sunday. Did we go to church sick? Yeah, we did. Did we go to church a lot? He used to tell us, man, we'd get in the car and he'd be, look, the moment that we step up in that church, we're going to serve people. I don't want any crap out of y'all. You're going to serve, and that's just how it is. It is, and I grew up on this statement, it is not us four and no more. Casey, did we hear that every Sunday? There's something bigger in this life than just us and how we feel. And I'm asking you this morning to realize that they put Jesus Christ in a feeding trough as a baby, and His mama wasn't messed up about it. Why? She took Him to somebody that the Holy Spirit had promised, and when they saw that, when He saw the baby, He took that baby and He began to just hold it in His arms. You know what? When is the last time you stopped blaming God for all your crap that you did to yourself, and you just said, God, I want to put my arms around you. Lord, I want to love on you, because you know what I get, God? You never left me. You never said, I didn't want you anymore. See, we need to take our arms and we need to wrap them around Christ, because at the end of the day, this ain't no joke. Y'all need to quit laughing, because see, y'all 13 years old. You got a lot of hard years ahead of you. And if you offended that I'm getting on to the kids, you need to get yourself up over it. See, man, God loves you so much. How many of you, you've ever said to your kid, I want a hug? There ain't nothing on the planet that warms me up more on the inside than a hug from my kid. I got one of them, he'd hug me all day. This one over here, he likes to give me a lot of funny business when I ask for a hug. And I told him this week, I said, you know what, I'm your mother. And when I ask you for a hug, I shouldn't feel like I'm asking you and pulling your teeth and blah, blah, blah. And I don't want a side hug. I want a full embrace, Carson. I want your arms wrapped around your mama, because I love you and there ain't nothing I wouldn't do for you. And you know what, if we feel that way as natural parents, what do we think God feels about us? I'm going to ask you to wrap your arms, wrap your life, wrap everything that you've got up in Christ, because He's the one person that ain't letting you down, ever. get so full of Jesus that when you walk in a room, you don't even have to open your mouth. People can see it. Dad said, Kelly, what are you praying for? I said, I'm praying for my sins. And he knelt down right beside me. And he looked over and he said, Kelly, do you feel God knocking on your heart's door wanting to come into your life? See, don't tell me kids can't hear from God. Don't tell me God can't talk to your kids. Don't tell me God can't come inside of their life at a young age. Because that's what he did in my life. And I can tell you, out of everything that my parents did, I am so thankful that they gave me an opportunity to let me meet Christ. Because there's been a lot of times Mom and Daddy hadn't been able to be with me through trials and tribulation. But they trusted me in the arms of a Savior that could be there for me all the time. Amen. And Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, as you have promised. See, exactly what God has promised you, that's exactly what will happen. Don't question him. Thank him. God, I thank you that when this is whenever it happens, God, I'm good with it. I thank you for it. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people of Israel. You know, Frank, go get me Jesus out of the classroom. The kids' classroom. I've been working about a month now to try to get people to understand that Jesus is with them all the time. All the time. All the time. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And I saw Big Jesus. He went with us yesterday to the ladies' thing, and they just loved him. I said, where can I put Jesus that nobody from this church is going to be offended that he's sick? Because, you know, you never know about people. They might get offended I brought a Jesus doll in there. I never know. They said, put him right in the pastor's chair. I said, well, good. When he gets here in the morning for church, you tell them that Jesus was sitting right in his chair. Thank you, sweetheart. Now, I'm going to explain something to you. You've got Jesus with you all the time, and he's larger than life. He's a big God. He won't have any other gods before him. Whatever you put before God, you can bet that's the thing that's going. Don't put anything before him. But he's a big God. And if you make him the Lord of your life, what should happen? Dwayne, what happens when a dog has dogs? What do we call them?
Puppies.
What do we call them when a cat has babies? So when we are called the children of God and we have him and we allow him to be the Lord of our life and we allow him to be as big as he is, as majestic as he is, what should come out of us Christians is what? Y'all are all good, but we're not quite there. If we're all Christians, what should come out of us when we open our mouth is Christ. Christ. We got a big Jesus. You need to let him be who he is in your life. He's going to do some big things. But when we interact with other people, Daddy, hold your hand out. What we should give people is a little piece of Jesus. Right there. When you open your mouth, Jesus should come out. When you go to the store and somebody says, oh, just pray for me. You know what? We need to be done with just saying, oh, okay, I'll pray in passing. Don't tell people you're going to pray in passing. Just make the time right there. And just, if you're in a hurry, just say, hey, look, I'm in a hurry, but I've committed myself to not just say I'm going to pray for you and just pray for them right there. Now, Frank, do me a favor, sweetheart. Give everybody a little bit of Jesus. Because people do better. This is a proven fact. People do better. They learn more. It takes on more meaning when they have a visual. You need to let him be big in your life. Don't put any limits on him. I can tell you he don't care what you did 10 years ago. Amen. All he cares about is it under the blood of Jesus? Has it been? Have you asked me for forgiveness? That's all he cares about. Don't limit him with your current state, because see, he owns everything. He has everything. I'm going to ask you this Christmas season to give Christ with everything that you do, to give him. Why? Go with me to Matthew chapter 10, last place for me this morning, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. See, we have a responsibility to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. And a part of doing the word is, see, if you are a Christian, what's going to come out of you is Christ. Now, we're not going to have this message now, but in the new year, we're going to focus more on what comes out of us, because there's some things that I believe the Lord would like to clean up about his kids. One of them is our confession. One of them is our potty mouth that we probably all have when we wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and we fall over something. And I'm not telling you when we're going to have that message, because then nobody will show up. Literally, one time I said, next week I'm going to preach about gossip. And you know what, Jimmy? Half the church was gone. And that made it very easy for me to distinguish all the gossipers. But I'm not kidding. Half the church was gone. And I thought, that's the last time I'm telling them which service I'm going to preach these hard topics on. So if you're letting Jesus be as big as he's supposed to be, what's going to happen in your life is called fruit. We're all bearing fruit. You'll come to somebody in the grocery store and you'll give them a little bit of the Jesus that you have up inside of you. You'll be sitting at the hospital waiting on your family, and somebody else will be waiting on their family. And guess what you're going to do? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And you'll be able to speak a word in season and give them Jesus and give them hope. When you have Jesus up inside of you and you're a Christian and you see somebody that doesn't have enough, and see, you're not too uppity to realize that there was a time in your life where you didn't have enough. See, We forget a lot of times where God brought us out of. But see, God would like to give Christ to people through you. And I'm going to show you in His Word that He says just that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. And it says, this is Him telling us what we're supposed to be doing. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. And then He tells us why. Because freely you have received. Freely you received Christ. And because it was free, He says, now freely give. Now freely give. Freely you have received. Now freely give. I'm going to ask you to give Christ everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. You're going to have off days. Don't let them get you down. Begin again. I don't do this often. But is there anybody this morning and you say, I need to be saved. I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I'm not saved yet. And you feel Him knocking at that door of your heart. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Now, if you're afraid, look here. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to give another moment. I met Jimmy a few years ago when he was my neighbor. And we introduced ourselves. And he said, Kelly, I do a lot of crazy things out here. Just don't pay me any mind. And I said, Jimmy, I'm a yeller. So when you hear me yelling at my kids hours on end about for them to stop doing all the nonsense that they're doing, just don't pay me any mind. We were great neighbors. Jimmy, I love you so much. I'm gonna lead you into prayer. You just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I confess to you right now.
I confess to you right now
that I'm a sinner.
I am a sinner.
And Jesus,
I ask you right now. I ask you right now
to come into my heart. In my life.
My life.
And be the Lord of my life.
And be the Lord of my life.
Lord. I ask you right now.
I ask you right now.
To take my sins.
To take my sins.
And give me a clean slate.
And please give me a clean slate.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Thank you.
Amen. Y'all give God a hand this morning. Anybody else that needs anything from this service, if you've sat in your seat and you just say, I wish she would pray or I wish she would this, you just stand and I'm going to meet you where you're at. Is anybody needing anything? What are we needing today, Miss Billy? You having trouble hearing Him? I'm going to pray right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, I speak to every voice that's louder than You. And I tell those voices to be quiet and to be still right now. And Lord, I thank You that Your sheep, they hear Your voice, and a stranger they won't follow. And I tell these ears to be open right now and to hear the Lord speak to her. very clearly. Now, Billy, when God speaks to you and when He tells you to do something, you do it. And then the next time, you'll hear Him better. Keep doing what He tells you to do. You'll hear Him better and better. In Jesus' name, amen. I love y'all so much. It's a joy to be your pastor. It's a privilege to be your pastor. I don't take it lightly, I promise you. Does anybody else need anything else? I want to be sensitive to that this morning. Melissa, can I pray for you? You just come right on up here, sister. I've learned not to ask for the obvious. What do you need God to do?
Just healing in my body. God is working. He really is. And I'm excited about that. But when you don't get the answers that you seek, believe you me, I seek God on a daily basis. Because I know that that's where my healing's going to come from. And it has come. And it gets discouraging. You know, I've got children to raise. And I got a God that I need to serve. And I got a church that I love to serve in. But a lot of times I can't because I don't feel like it. And it's discouraging when you can't stay here in the pew and hear. And it's hard. I watch from home, but it's not the same as being here. You know, it's hard. It's hard to have sickness in your body. And I know a lot of y'all hurt. And I never had an understanding about that until just recently. But I ask God every day, you know, like, I pray for Sister Millie a lot. And I said, God, it's okay if you heal her first. When you're sick in your body, you will learn that even though you got pain and sickness in your body, if you love people and you truly love people the way Christ does, that you'll let God do things in front of you that you want so badly. And I said, God, heal her. Touch her because we need people like her in our lives. We need the elderly that can lead us. Because I'm only in my 40s and I'm still young. There's still things that I don't know. There's still things that I learned from Angelo and Millie that I didn't know. Even though I was raised in church, there's things that you learn from people. And I said, God, I need her in my life because she's been here before. And God, if you can heal her, I know you can do it for me, but God, heal her, Lord. Let her be able to move and walk and minister to us because, God, we need it. I need it.
Mom, come on up here. Dad, come on up here. You know, Melissa, I heard something the other day, and God told me the next time you see Melissa, you tell her. And it was Joel Olstein was saying, there's somebody in here and they have cancer and they keep asking God, why am I up in the middle of this? And he said, God spoke to me clearly and he told me to tell that person, you're not in the middle of cancer, you're right in the middle of a miracle. Yeah. Amen. Y'all just stretch your hands up here. We're going to pray a prayer of faith and a prayer of healing right now. Thank you. going to pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over this body. And God, I believe that the healing has already taken place. But Lord, I speak to those records right now in the name of Jesus. And I tell them to catch up. I tell those medical records to catch up. And Lord, I thank you right now for the clean bill of health. And God, right now I cancel out every single lying voice that has tried to make her think about what if this happens and what if that. And Lord, I speak to the voice of truth and I tell it to be the main voice that she hears right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that she walks in divine health. God, that she has decades left to live here on this earth. God, that she meets her children's children right now in the name of Jesus. I speak that over her life. I tell it to come into existence right now in the name of Jesus.
Open your mouth and praise him, Melissa. Tell him I thank you for the healing. Tell him, speak up so we can hear you. Thank you for the healing.
Lord, I thank you for my healing
praise
in the name
him.
Of
thank
Jesus.
Thank you for the healing.
Thank
thank
you for
my thank
healing
you.
In the
hallelujah.
Name
hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for my healing
see.
In the name of Jesus.
We thank you for the healing, Father God. Thank you, Melissa. Praise him for it like you've
Jesus.
Got it right now.
Thank you,
receive
Lord
it.
Jesus.
Open your heart and receive it in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise him.
Thank
praise
you,
him.
Lord.
Say, I'm healed.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm healed and I receive
Jesus.
It right now in the name
of Jesus.
I rebuke
right
doubt.
You,
I rebuke
Lord.
Anything
you,
that's coming against my healing. Receive it.
Amen.
Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. She is healed in the name of the Father. Hallelujah.
Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. Oh, we have got something special for you today. I learned in the pandemic that the weight of people's heart was toilet paper. Literally. But no kidding. I have got boxes. One for every household. So we only need one person from the household. We're going to start at this door. Okay? We'll start at this door. We'll make a line. The line's going to go this way. We only need one person from every household. We are going to start with the elderly. And I'm going to see how many elderly we've got. And then I'm going to pair up young people with them because your box is overflowing. And there are lots of things in there. We have been focusing on getting things collected for you. We know that the Christmas season brings about extra expenses. And so we want to bless you the most that we can. So if you are between the ages of 70 and on up, I want you to make your way right here, but don't go in there yet because I need to see how many of those that we have, and I'm going to pair people up, and y'all form a line behind Larry this way, okay?